Recordings have started.
Great. Thank you, Jewel. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to this SCI Subteam A meeting on the 19th of January, 1800 UTC. On the call today, we have Rudy Vansnick, Sarah Bakke, Wolf Ulrich Melbourne, Angie Graves. We have no apologies. And from ICANN staff, we have Julie Hedlund and myself, Michelle Diesmeiter. I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you.
And thank you, Michelle. And I'll just note for the transcript that Mary Wong also has joined us from staff.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So we don't have a formal chair for this group, and it's ideal if staff does not chair a group. It's better if the SCI members, one of the members should be the chair. Is there someone who would like to volunteer? I'm hearing.
Well, not everybody at the same time,
I suppose. Sorry.
It's Rudy for the transcript. Well, I'm actually the SCI chair, but as I was just explaining to Julie, that perhaps it would be good that one of you could take over the chairing position in this subteam so that everybody has a chance to chair a committee and that it's not always the committee chair that takes the lead in everything. So I would prefer if somebody wants to take the lead in here, you're welcome to take the chair position here.
This is Julie Hedlund for the transcripts. Rudy, I'm not hearing any takers. Somebody is speaking and is on mute. Let us know if you do want to take up Rudy's offer to chair.
Well, Rudy, for the transcript, if silence means that you prefer that I stand on the chair to chair this subteam, I will do so. And perhaps for the next call, we can have a relay on someone else. So let us not waste time. It's precious for everybody. I would like to start with the mission that we have here. But first of all, we have to review the statements of interest, and I would like to know if someone has any changes in the statement of interest. Let us know. If not, we can move over to the most important point of the agenda, a discussion about the current practice in relation to the motions and amendments. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's my fourth meeting already today, so I'm getting a bit tired. When I go back to the initial creation of this subteam, the question that we had on the table is, if the SCI believes that the current practices are inappropriate, the SCI should convey its reasons for such belief to the Council and develop new processes to govern the seconding of motions and amendments to motions. So I think, if I'm not wrong, that's the basic question that is on our table that we need to take care of. And Julie was so kind to put up different steps that are in fact on the action list and based on the draft of October 8th, based on discussion that we had in, previously. So I don't know if there is, if we agree that this is the mission we need to accomplish, then we can agree on the next steps to discuss the context of the discussion itself. Is everybody happy with the question that is in front of us? Don't Yeah, I see. Angie agrees. I suppose that silence means that we accept that mission and move forward to the next steps. Thank you. Julie refers us to the number 7 in the document. Describe the specific changes you propose to address the identified issues or problems. And well, the text is quite clear. The GNSR Council requests that the SEI codifies the existing customary practices of the GNSR Council, as described above. If the SEI believes that the current practices are inappropriate, the SEI should convey its reason. That's the text that I had read earlier. That continues on the next page, where we see the GNSR Council suggests that in carrying out this task, the SEI should consult past GNSR chairs and councillors, as well as commonly accepted guides and practices, such as Robert Rules of Order and other ICANN bodies, such as the board and other SEOs and ACs. That last sentence is a quite important one. What I understand is that the GNSR Council gives us the advice to look backwards and have input from previous councillors and previous chairs to see what's happened in the past in order to allow us to have an indication of what worked and what didn't work. At least that's my understanding. And also try to use existing methods of meetings and voting orders so that we are in line with what is traditionally used. At least that's my understanding. I would like to check with you if you have the same appreciation of that text. But that means that there is a lot of work in front of us. If we need to consult previous chairs and councillors, we will have to call on them and get them in one of our meetings in order to have the value of it. So I'm just wondering if that's an action we could take. Perhaps I have to point to and ask Julie or Mary, who has quite a long standing in these activities, if that's a good approach to do, to call on previous ones. Yes, Mary, I see you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Rudy, and hello, everybody. Rudy, so I think that that's probably, you're right, the reason that the council put in this line in its request. So, as you say, it could be quite intensive. So one way that the SEI could approach this part is obviously to ask the existing members of the SEI who are former councillors, and Wolf Ulrich, of course, is a member of this group. You could, as a sub-team, also then develop an email that we could send on your behalf to previous council chairs and councillors. And, you know, we could just also send them to a selection because, as you noted, you know, going back all the way to, you know, whenever the council was founded and every single councillor, you know, might be somewhat excessive. Then the question then, besides, you know, who you want to approach and then the format of the approach, would be, I think, helpful if this sub-team could discuss whether, you know, the central question, which is whether this practice as documented in the document here that was sent to the Fuller Council, whether the practice is appropriate, what gaps there might be, and, you know, what suggestions this sub-team might have to fill that. So that's one way to do it, and that's one type of approach. Alternatively, you could, you know, send the letter or the email and solicit suggestions, but I'm not sure that that would be as helpful to the sub-team because that would be more open-ended. So it may be more helpful to start with some specific ideas, So, for example, the sub-team could say, you know, we think that this is a satisfactory approach. However, we notice, you know, from previous incidents, maybe reported by a couple of current SCI members who are on the council, that a certain new rule may want to be developed for this kind of situation, which is not covered. My sense is that that may be more helpful to you in getting more concrete input from former council members. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mary. That's indeed, I think, a very great proposal that we first do some analysis of the text we have in front of us and then address the councillors and previous chairs to have a better understanding of what we put forward. I see, Wolf Ulrich, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yeah, hello, Oliver. Hello, Woody and others. Well, I'm sorry, so I'm just got connected, so I could not follow all the what you have said here in between. I do hope I'm updated. So my first question is here with regard, and I know you were going through to this to our task here. And my first question is related. Is the task related to the entire process of filing motions and handling motions within the GNSO, let me say, as a whole, not just on the council, but also in the preparatory work with regard to timing and all these things? Or is it just related to some specific aspects which have been discussed in the past on the SCI already? I see, for example, the question of amendments and these things. So this is the first thing. So, and then related with the question how to proceed, well, I would join that, what I have heard, that we should pick up, let me say, some members of the council from the various parts of the council or the GNSO, which are contributing to the process itself, and hearing from their point of view aspects. So that means what we have to do then is kind of elaborating a kind of question list or questionnaire, which we are going to present to them or which we are going to discuss with them directly. So I leave it as it is at the time being, so I do hope I'm updated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wolf Ulrich, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, indeed, I think you did asked the right question. What's the exact definition of what are the terms on which we have to take action? And I think that Julie just put up the page where, as far as I understood, we have motions, we have seconders of motions, and we have amendments. That are the three, as far as I recognize, the three terms that actually are on the table. And the context of these terms is when a motion has been brought up, what are the correct steps? And as I remember the discussions during one of the GNSO council meetings, I think it was in Singapore, that we had this discussion about friendly amendments and not seconding a friendly amendment and so on. But I think it's a quite large scope that we have in front of us. And as Mary was also putting in the chat, it's also the proposing or the proposal of a motion that is on the question list. So perhaps it's good if we try to start from the beginning point, as we see on, I think it's just a few lines before, where the description was given by the GNSO, where we have step one, a motion is submitted to the GNSO Council by a current GNSO Council member via the Council mailing list. The proposal may expressly request that the motion be seconded by another GNSO Council member. So this is the first step, and I think that this is quite correct, that this is the normal way of doing things, and there's nothing that has to be changed at that level, as far as I have seen the procedures. And then we move on to step two, where a different GNSO Council member seconds the submitted motion, so that we can move on to the step number three, where if it is submitted in time for the next GNSO Council meeting, the motion is placed on the Council's meeting agenda and published on the motions page of the Council Wiki space. That's indeed the flow of how the actions are taking place. So first on the mailing list, when there is a second of that motion, it goes to the agenda of the meeting, of the next meeting, and then the motion is discussed at the GNSO Council meeting. That seems to me the logical way things would happen. We had a discussion about the timing that is requested to get it on the agenda. If I'm not wrong, it's 10 days before the GNSO Council meeting. The motion has to be posted. That was one of the discussions also, if I'm not wrong. So on this process, I don't see immediately any difficulty of handling the question. I'm trying to follow also the chat. Where I see that Julie Hedlund is mentioning that number six, and that lack of codification could lead to risk of inconsistency and knowledge gaps. So relating to, as my notes, proposal. Yes. That's a good question, Ulrich. Is there a kind of flow chart or a document flow that is used in doing these steps? I think that's something that we could easily put together for the next call, and that could be used to amend all the actions that we think are required or should be modified. At least that's a proposal. That's my personal approach. I would like to hear from you all. If that's the first step we would go through, try to make clear design of the different steps and different actions in timing and in definition, so that there is good understanding of the problem itself. Is that something that we can agree on, or does anybody have any other proposal? So not hearing anybody, I think that I can consider silence being acceptance, so that we first get from staff a flow chart of how the process is visually represented, and will probably help outside the team also to have a better understanding of the whole issue in itself. Once we have that done, we could build on, and I would prefer that we build on that one, and go into the details of the question that we have. And the question is quite clear. That we need to figure out if the current practices are inappropriate. And that's probably one of the big questions where we need a bit more details on the different ways of executing the different steps as we have them in front of us. As I mentioned already, for instance, there can be a kind of delay the 10 days before the council meeting. So I think it's not just having a flowchart, it's also having a timing scheme that we know if things are done within the right timing. And probably, at least myself, I have to go a little bit more into the details of the procedures, but I'm counting on experience that Wolf Ulrich can bring to the table in having a look on what are all the possible issues that can raise during the different steps, during the execution of the different steps. For instance, my personal question would be the seconding. Should that be done also 10 days before, or can that be done meanwhile? I think that's a quite interesting question to solve, to get clearance for everybody. But maybe, Wolf, you have more experience as you have been on the council. Do you know of any cases where this was effectively an issue, where we could say that the processes were not executed in an appropriate way?
Rudy, why is Favori speaking? You mean, so if I understood correctly, you mean the process of coming up with a motion and bringing a motion through the council as a whole. So whether there have been problems with doing something or deciding something in the process, was that your question related to?
Yes, well, that's in fact a little bit what I wanted to know. When a motion came to the council, were there cases where there were quite some difficulties in staying within the process and within the timing and within the procedures as described? As far as I remember, in Singapore we had a case where there was a lot of discussions going on about discussion on motion and amendments. Both cases popped up where there was a discussion about if it was in the amendment was done in time or the motion was done in time. I can't remember exactly. But I think it would be good if you could highlight cases that are indicating that there is need for improvement of the procedures itself.
Yes, we're always speaking. Yes, we had several discussions about the timing of motion, the deferral of motion. I remember there was the very last case. What was it about deferral of motion, where we didn't come to a very, let me say, clear conclusion about that? We just deferred. See that, and we're saying, okay, let's wait and see what's going to happen. There was one case, I don't remember exactly what it was, but maybe Mary was knows better about that, where we at the end, because of our discussion within the SCI, we didn't come to a right conclusion that, okay, the case maybe is rare, and let's just see what is going to happen. I think it was in relation with the question of bringing up again a motion which has been deferred or which has not been passed, or in this case. There were several cases where discussions came up. And I think it would be good, so I don't have them all in my mind at the time being, but it would be good if you could bring it up. I myself will think over and bring up it to the list, and maybe if there's some help from staff to that, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wolf Ulrich. And as I'm also following in the chat, the reason why I was bringing up the question about the timing of the second of the motion, well, step three is not really clear in the sense of should the motion already been seconded before it has been passed to the council. for the council agenda, because that means that you have to stick to the 10 days included the seconding. And indeed, the discussion in Singapore was about a motion that was brought back to the council, and that was deferred on the previous meeting. And I think that was in fact the trigger of our mission here. It was the fact that there was no clear definition in the procedures how that should have been handled. But instead of moving immediately to that critical case, I would like to go through the whole process and see if we can improve the description of the different steps in such a way that we can avoid such discussion. Wolf Ulrich, I see you have your hand up. You have the mic.
Yes, thank you. Ulrich speaking. Well, I think Julie was also mentioning on the chat with regards to the seconding and amendment something, and this is the present status. You know, there is nothing is fixed with regards to the timing. That which means a motion usually could be seconded until the very last minute, you know, when the motion came up to the table and was called to the table at this meeting where it should be moved, then, and there was no seconder not yet available, then the chair was asking, well, is somebody going to second that? And in all these cases, it was seconded. I can't remember a case where it was not seconded. So the question is here, just which I understand, this team should discuss it if there is a need to alter, to modify that kind of rule or to fix it as a rule as it is, and the pros and cons. So that's what I understand. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, indeed, and it is my understanding, if, for instance, a motion was brought up, it goes to the agenda, and there is no seconding. It means that that motion can be brought up again at the next meeting, and then we enter into the big discussion, as happened in Singapore, where, in fact, the motion was deferred due to lack of seconding. So I think it is important that this step be clearly defined if there is a need for timing, because and it's a personal reaction and perception that I have when I see that the motion has not, as a counselor, acting as a counselor, I see a motion is on the table, but nobody is seconding. Well, I'm not consulting my constituency or my stakeholder group, because I consider that motion will not pass. I don't have to discuss it with my group. Well, if you know that if there is a need for a seconding before it can go to the agenda, well, you know that at that time you need to take the case up in your stakeholder group. At least that's what I think to me, and if I would become a new counselor, that would be a question that I would have. Julie, you have your hand up. You have the mic.
Thank you, Rudy. This is Julie Hedlund. But, oh, I see Wolf Ulrich has dropped his hand. Yes, I think, you know, the issue at hand here is, as I noted in the chat, the current informal process does not set a deadline for when a motion is seconded. And so, indeed, a motion can be submitted, and the motion must be submitted. That is one deadline that is clear and is in the procedures. The motion must be submitted in order to be considered by the 10-day deadline before the next council meeting. But there is no written deadline for seconder, nor is there a deadline for amendments. And indeed, seconds have been provided during council meetings, as I think Wolf Ulrich noted, and amendments, friendly or otherwise, have been submitted during council meetings. And so the issue, as I think you've identified here, Rudy, is that this sub-team should ask itself whether or not we do need to insert a deadline into the process, or has there been issues of confusion? I think you have raised one relating to Singapore, where you know, there is no seconder, and so of course the motion is not considered, and it can, since it is not considered, it could be considered at a subsequent meeting. So anyway, I think I hope that is helpful.
Thank you, Julie. Yes, indeed, Rudy, for the transcript. It is quite helpful. And again, the question that I would have is, when the motion was not seconded, is that motion automatically transferred to the next meeting call? As far as I have seen in the procedures, that's not mentioned. So I think there's a lot of things that we need to clarify, that everybody has a good understanding and there is no discussion about things that are not written. At least that's my personal perception. Wolf Ulrich, you have your hand up. You have the mic.
Yeah, thanks, Rudy. Wolf Ulrich speaking. Well, with regards to seconding the motion, well, I think the question here is exactly what Julie was saying. So the motion should be brought out within the 10 days deadline. And the question here is then, is the act of bringing a motion to the council, is that of such a, let me say, value or such a category that you need two people to support it, so that it is going to be put forward to the council before it is discussed. So that would mean, in case if you need a seconder for a motion to be brought to the council, that would in exactly mean, okay, you need two people. So then the other question is, do you need the motion or the seconder before it's going to be decided on, which means there could have been some discussion in between. So, if, for example, the case could be, okay, somebody will come up with a motion, but I'm not really happy with that. I would ask him before I could support it, and would ask him, well, it's about many friendly or whatever kind of amendments, and then I would be in the case to second it or to support it. So this is, I think, the question we should discuss, the pros and cons. Well, I have an opinion on that. You may have an opinion, and others as well. And we should put all these opinions together, and then this is the way how we're going to discuss that. Thanks.
Thank you, Ulrich. Very, very interesting point. I see also, Marie, you have your hand up. You have the mic.
I do. Thank you, Wolf Owen. Thank you, Rudy. This is Mary Wong from staff. I just wanted to follow up on Wolf Ulrich's point at least before him. Certainly, this is the current procedure. So two observations, perhaps. The first is that to require a seconder by the time of the deadline for the submission of motions, which is the 10-day deadline, as Julie has noted already, this might create a practical problem, because we have found from the staff side that particularly at times where the community and the council are quite busy and the motion is accompanied by a document, be it a issue report or something that's substantive, it can take quite a bit of coordination and work to even make it by the 10-day deadline. This should not be a reason for the SCI to not propose that a seconder must be in place by the 10-day deadline, but I thought it might be helpful to offer this observation that it may create a practical burden that could be additional work, but if justified, then so be it. The other point that I wanted to make was that one follow-on consequence, which I want to add, to my recollection, has never happened, is that if someone were to propose a motion, but someone else on the council, potentially representing a different constituency or stakeholder group, were to object to the motion. And I raise this point because while it's not, you know, specified, none of this is specified, as we just said, generally the idea for there to be a seconder of a motion is to avoid action or even valuable time for discussion being taken by a suggestion or a proposal that really is only one person or one group's position. And if that is the reason or one of the reasons for having a second, then actually there's two consequences. One is that the seconder must be from a different constituency or stakeholder group, and that would be something that, in the documentation and in the visual diagram that the staff will prepare, that makes clear, to avoid that problem. But that secondly, instead of requiring a seconder, the SCI or this sub-team at least initially could consider whether you want to discuss some of the, possible, consequences, one being that, somebody could object that the motion as proposed is, not something that the council should be acting on. And that obviously would be a different route than saying there must be a seconder, but it may accomplish the same purpose. I hope I'm making sense because it's kind of 2:30 in the morning, and so I'm sure people will stop me if I'm saying things nobody understands. Thanks.
No, thank you very much, Marine. I think for me it's quite clear, and it's not easy material that we are taking care of. It's quite complex to embrace all the possible situations that can happen. I was just maybe inventing one that helps me convincing myself that the seconder could be quite important when you have a motion that was brought up on the mailing list and there was no seconder. There could be another motion, maybe on the same topic, that is brought to the list and get a seconder on the list and moves onto the agenda of the council. Both are moving onto the agenda of the council. Would the council consider the one having a seconder having priority on the first one? That's even a question that I'm getting on my radar here. But I don't want to make it too complex. Let's first try to see if the process as it stands today, the step 1, 2, and 3, if we feel that there is need for clarification, then I think we should put that on our action list for now, between now and the next call, so that on the next call we have the time to explore with colleagues to see if we can go in that way, in that direction, and have eventually evaluated all possible other circumstances that could happen, so that there are really clear guidance for councillors and for the council itself to work on when things are happening, and that people can say, okay, this is what is written, this is the way we need to proceed. So I think that the first issue that we have on the list is the pros and the cons of having a deadline for seconders, and perhaps also consider immediately if a motion with a seconder has priority on a motion without seconder, because that could make things changing in the process during the council meeting itself, when there is a voting on a motion, when a motion is voted first and approved, goes through, it could be that the second motion gets killed by the fact that the first motion got voted. Just to consider some circumstances where things can go in a bad way. If there is no clear guidance, that, to me at least, it would make my life difficult being on the council to define, okay, do I have to first vote on the second one in my head and then consider, okay, I cannot vote on the first one? Just to give you some samples, that I know that even in the evening I'm getting confused by all these difficult cases that we can have. But I would like to hear from others like Angie and Sarah. Do you have any opinions, remarks, ideas on the steps that we should go through on the definition we have in front of us, step 1, 2, and 3 of the process? Yes, Angie, you have the mic. I don't know if you have been unmuted. We can't hear you.
Okay, thank you for your patience. This is Angie Graves, and thank you for asking. As for me, I'm learning as much as anything, listening to you and Wolf Eric and Julie as well. And I hope to learn enough to be a strong contributor. Right now, I'm probably less of a contributor and more of a learner. My apologies for that, but do not have any comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Angie. And, well, we all learn, you know. We are in the process of things are not clear, so we are all learning and trying to find a way through all these difficulties with and without experience. Both are required. Sometimes fresh new views can help getting us out of very old misery. I see, Mary, you have your hand up. You have the mic. Oh, it was an old hand, I presume. I should drop it off. Okay, no problem. So, I don't know if, Sarah, you have any opinions on this. You have the mic.
Okay, sure. I guess I have just one clarification I'm looking for regarding the deadlines for the seconders. So, new to all of this, it's just a matter of my ignorance and not being completely familiarized with the process. So are there instances when you would have a motion that does not get seconded that goes on to a vote, or would we want to require at least a second prior to a vote on a motion?
Thank you, Sarah. Well, I can give you an answer on that immediately, really, for the transcript. When you read step one, the proposer can expressly request that there is a motion, that the motion be seconded by another councillor. So there is a case where, of course, a seconder is required.
Right, but if someone did not expressly request it be seconded and they just put forth a motion, would it proceed to a vote without having a second if one seconded it? I guess that's my question. Or is it a requirement that anything has to have, any motion needs to have a second prior to going to vote?
Well, if you, and as Mary Wong is mentioning in the chat also, when you go to step four, the motion is discussed at the council meeting, so that's where the motion will be voted. If there is no secondary requested, the motion proceeds to a vote only if it has been seconded by a GNSO council. So there is a need for a seconder, as far as I understand from that sentence.
Okay, that's very helpful. And that was my only question. I read through it, but it just wasn't sticking in my head for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. It's good to clarify all of us on there are only 4 or 5 sentences in front of us, and you see how much difficulties we have to have a clear understanding of what is meant and how the things are going on. The 4 or 5 sentences probably should become perhaps double the 10 centers in order to have clearance on the understanding of what's in front of us. And I'm reading in the chat, every modem needs a seconder, but it's not fixed in the procedures. Well, that's a good point, Wolverine. If it's not in the procedures, then it should at least be written in the procedures that voting can only happen if there is a seconder of the motion. I see you have your hand up, Wolf Ulrich. You have the mic.
Yes, thanks, Rudy. Wolf Ulrich speaking. Yes, I agree. Well, this is the usual case. Well, the council is just moving or is deciding on motions in case there's a seconder. So I'm not sure whether it is fixed or it is mentioned in the procedures. I'm not that sure about that, but we can check that. On the other hand, so this discussion and my own experience, you know, tells me, I think for newcomers especially, it's necessary to know the reason why. What is it about motions? You know, it is just the thing. You know, when I started, I saw that. You know, it's usual behavior. You know, on board at the board level, in other groups as well. You know, if it comes to motions, then there's a seconder. So that was natural, let me say. But why is it? So in that case, so we should put some bullet points together. Which is also helpful for people who join the table newly. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. For newcomers, it's probably very difficult to have the right temperature of the discussions at the first meeting. And I was just wondering, again, a suggestion, a proposal to the group here. Why should the GNSO Council procedures in motions and votings be different from other groups in ICANN? Is there not something that we could use as being the most common way it has been done and is done within ICANN to avoid that we have procedures that are different group by group, while the process itself in a democratic multi-stakeholder concept should be the same for every department in ICANN. At least that's what I would suppose that would be the case. And especially with regards to the IANA transition, I think it's quite important that decisions are taken in a way that are common in the whole ICANN structure. I can be wrong. If I'm wrong, please tell me. I don't know. Julie, is this something we could eventually have an eye on and see if there is common ground in different departments of ICANN, different SOs and ACs, and see if we could use eventually good practices and good procedures that exist somewhere else? Julie, you have the mic?
Yes, Rudy, this is Julie Hedlund from staff. The practices vary among the SOs and ACs. I can tell you, for example, for the ESAC, there are in the ESAC operational procedures no mention of any kind of any procedures relating to motions. There is no such thing as submitting a motion. There are no procedures relating to votes. There are no procedures relating to consensus and how consensus is achieved. And I know that that is also true for the RSAC. We certainly can look at practices, say, for the CCNSO, because I do not know what form they take there, and also for the ALAC. But I would caution that I think we probably cannot expect to have uniform procedures across the various bodies because they do have very different methods of operation. So I think as a starting point, we may want to stick to what works best for the GNSO and the way it operates and see whether or not there are any issues with the current informal process, which I think many here have noted, and staff as well, has worked well, and perhaps the main issue that was indeed flagged by the GNSO Council when this issue was submitted to the SCI is that while the practice may work well, since it is not codified, there is no one place that counselors, and in particular new counselors, can turn to determine whether or not there is consistency in the action of the counselors, because these are not codified, and of course it is hard for people to remember from one time to the next, especially new people, exactly how things should be followed if they aren't written down. So I think at the very base, the question is, do you know, let us then do a flow chart, write down as many of these procedures and as clearly as we can as possible. This subteam debates what works and what doesn't, and seeks input on that from other counselors and people on the SCI who have been counselors, create a flow chart, and then you know, and then make the recommendation, I guess, to the full SCI and then to the GNSO Council. Sorry to go on so long.
No problem, Julie, and thank you very much for this guidance. As I'm looking at the clock, we are 4 minutes to the hour, so we are almost at the end of this first call. I think indeed we have a good action point that we need to work on for a while to have a really very clear view on the whole process through that flowchart. And I would propose that for the next meeting, we prepare ourselves to go through the different steps and flag off what's okay and eventually see where there are hicks or hacks that are stopping us in going through them and find out if there is any other issue that would need to be taken care of in addition to this first action point. So the question is the timing of the next meeting. We didn't define any deadlines, but I think it's good if we could at least have things done for the next SCI call is beginning of February, if I'm not wrong. I don't have my agenda in front of me, so I'm hesitating now. But maybe, Julie, you can give me some help here.
Yes, this is Julie Headland from staff. There currently isn't an SCI call scheduled. The idea was that these sub-teams would complete their work, and then that would be fed into the SCI, and the SCI would schedule a call accordingly. I think that the idea was that the SCI would, you know, meet in, say, mid-February to consider the work of the sub-teams. And so I guess a couple of questions with relating to, you know, to the completion of the chart and time for discussion of the chart. I am wondering whether or not we, rather than scheduling a meeting next week, if we want to, I mean, we'll take a little bit of time for staff to do the chart, and then, of course, we do want to make sure that people have plenty of time to look at it. I'm wondering if we should, instead of looking at scheduling for next week, perhaps schedule for that first week in February, or if we do schedule for next week, perhaps we should try to do a doodle and schedule for later in the week next week, and maybe even see if we can find some times that might work a little better for Mary as well. The only difficulty there is I know, Rudy, it would make it conceivably late for you, so we might be somewhat restricted there.
Thank you, Julie. Well, no problem, you know. I can shift hours, and it's great to have you all from staff available, because otherwise we are, at least I got lost in all the documentation and stuff that we need to take a look at. I would take on your first proposal and say let's have our next meeting rather begin of February, so that we you have first the time to work on this flowchart, so that you can cover everything. It doesn't make sense to rush and hurry up and just have a flowchart that reflects only 80% of the situations. So it's preferable having a good overview of it and have the time with the team on offline to have a view or individual views, and then eventually go back to our communities too. And then discuss that really thoroughly on the first, the second call of this septing, early February. Is that something that can work for everyone? And again, I consider that silence is acceptance. So I would like to propose that we allow first ICANN staff to work on the flowchart and send it to the list so that we can go through it, and then have our next call the 2nd of February. And well, if people want to change timing, no problem. Please tell me if for others in the team later call could be okay for me too. I could say we could do it in 21 or 22 UTC. Perhaps that helps others on this group also to have a better timing. Wolf Ulrich, you are not available on the first week of February. That's a pity, because you have your experience as a counselor could help quite a lot. Julie, I see your hand up. You have the mic.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute. I was just going to suggest that we should schedule, if we can, when all of the sub-team members can be on the call, and Wolf Ulrich does bring a very helpful experience as a GNSO counselor. I'm just wondering if maybe we should do a doodle and see if there was a time perhaps, I have to say I unfortunately cannot do a call at this time next week on the 26th, it is a difficult time for Mary, or perhaps we could shift to, say, the 28th. I see Wolf Ulrich notes he can contribute until January 26th. Wolf Ulrich, if we did a call on the 26th, would you be able to join?
Yes, that would be able, possible. Huh? Hello?
Yes, thank you very much, Ulrich. We did hear that. Then, Rudy, I would suggest that we try for the 26th of January. I would have to coordinate with Mary to see if she would be able to cover that call, because I will be in ESSAC meetings all day Monday and Tuesday of next week. And I could certainly get the chart out, Running it by Mary by later this week. I'm sorry, I see I'm running us over time. So perhaps we should then go ahead and keep for the 26th, and we'll try to get the chart out ahead of time and see if that works for everyone.
Well, Roy speaking, excuse me, on the 26th. Would that be possible to do a call, if a call is done, to do it earlier, let me say around 16 UTC.
So 16 UTC, would that work for you, Rudy?
Or even earlier.
And I see Mary.
No problem for me.
Go ahead, Rudy, sorry.
What about Mary? Yes, Mary?
Oh, thanks, Julie Wolf, Oregon, and Rudy. This is Mary. I was just going to say, I was just going to check the calendar. I think the first call for the next generation RDS working group, which is the new WHOIS PDP, is scheduled for 1600 UTC on Tuesday the 26th. So from the staff perspective, because of the SAC meeting, a meeting of this sub-team on Tuesday the 26th probably would be easiest. It was either at this time, or if earlier, then it would have to be before 1600 UTC. Sorry to be adding more confusion to the mix.
Thank you, Mary. And, well, for me, there is no issue at all. If it's earlier, no problem. I'm just looking at the others, Angie and Sarah. Does that work for you? I would say eventually at 14 UTC. Angie agrees. And Sarah also. So, Wolf, is that okay for you too?
Yes, I'm okay.
Okay, so let's schedule at 14 UTC. That will probably help. I can start a little bit in timing for the different calls I have. I'm just wondering if you have enough time to go through the flow chart, and eventually it's not fully done. We can work on the parts that are clear and that we can handle. I think there is enough discussion that needs to take place. So with that, we have the last point, any other business? I don't know if there is any other business we need to take care of. I would like to thank you all for your participation in our first call on this sub-team A. I would say enjoy your evening or your night or your morning, and we will read the mails that will follow this call with the flowchart and all the other stuff. Thank you so much. We can stop the recording.